Well, good morning.
Good morning, everyone.
Welcome to Unity Center of Light, another service from our home to your home. I'm Reverend Millage Mosby.
And I'm Pam Mosby.
And we look forward to bringing you this service today. As always, we'd like to invite you to the Zoom service, fellowship that's right after this, where we can have a chance to discuss the lesson, interact with other Unity folks, and hear some great music. So we look forward to seeing you in that Zoom session, and we're going to get started now with Pamela.
Thanks. Good morning, Unity family, and welcome to the Unity Center of Light, a spiritual community that nurtures the growth of all who are seeking to develop the potential of their spirit, mind, and body. Please join me as we affirm our mission and foundation statements together. Let's begin with the mission statement. The mission of Unity Center of Light is to empower individuals to express their indwelling divine potential. We teach there is a power within each of us far greater than anything that exists outside of us. And now let's affirm our foundation statement. Together, there is only one power and one presence active in my life and affairs, God the good, omnipotent. Amen. And the daily word for today, Sunday, August 29th, the key word is awareness. The affirmation is the world feels new as I grow in awareness. Spending time in mindful contemplation increases my awareness of my surroundings. As I concentrate and focus my attention, I shut out distractions and settle my unquiet mind. My world begins to feel brighter, vibrant, and more alive as I notice the soft sounds and minute textures and colors I overlooked before. Spending time in prayer increases my awareness of God's goodness, which I share with others when I am patient and kind, generous and forgiving. This goodness returns to me as kindness and gentleness in the people I meet, and ease and grace in all the places I go. The world has not changed, but I have. My awareness of God in and as my life has opened my eyes and ears, my mind and my heart. The scripture reading is taken from Psalm 119:18, and it reads, "Open my eyes so that I may behold wondrous things out of your law." Amen. And now we will have the Sunday message with Reverend Butch.
Thank you, hon. So we are, we're going to take a little trip today. down what might be a very challenging discussion. And the name of the talk is Turn to Spirit Now in This Moment. Okay? Now, as I've shared so many times, each week I'm always looking for something and some concept that's outside of the purview of our ego mind, outside of how we usually approach and react to our life experiences. It's sort of like always wanting to know, what is the mind of a mystic like? How does a mystic approach life? A Paramahansa Yogananda, a Martin Luther King or a Gandhi or those folks, how did they approach life sort of outside of the purview of the ego? And it's usually something that happens that sparks a thought for explanation, something that happens whether it's to me or something I observe in others, especially when I see in others something that's also happening in myself. That causes me to start thinking about how can this become a Sunday lesson. And usually the topics are uncomfortable because they infringe upon the ego's territory, and the ego does not like being deposed from its self-proclaimed throne. And what we're going to talk about today is going to really shake the purview of the ego, the throne of the ego. So I was actually warned against, this topic because of its extreme controversy and personal nature. I was having the discussion with the staff, Pamela, Patty, and April, and we talk about it, and they were kind of warning me about this. I was told that I would get a lot of rebuttals in the discussion part of the Zoom fellowship service around this idea. But I share that's what I want. I want us to discuss and debate these spiritual ideas so we can all hopefully gain greater understanding as to how these can apply, how we can apply them in our lives. You know, if you just hear it sometimes, it's not as much as if you get a chance to really discuss it. So that's what I look forward to doing in the Zoom fellowship. And because this is not an intellectual process, it's really what we call an application process. In other words, it's not just hearing these ideas, it's figuring out how can I apply these ideas. So the topic for today's lesson grew out of a statement that I made in last week's Courageous Conversations, for which I admit that I immediately had buyer's remorse after making it. But after I continued to explore it in my mind and with those in my, you know, circle of confidants, you know, again, that, you know, the staff, I began to realize that it was a critical issue in my own emotional state of mind that interfered with my being able to remain on the spiritual path, okay? And in the exploratory conversation we were having, I realized that it was most likely an issue in the emotional state of mind of others as well. And that usually happens a lot. You know, if you're struggling with something, you can bet that other people are struggling with the same idea. That's sort of the nature of what Carl Jung calls the collective unconscious. You know, we're all struggling with the same kinds of concepts in our own way. So the topic I'm referring to is how easily we become offended, meaning being resentful, annoyed, hurt, or angry as a result of a perceived insult or attack. And then Patty, so the idea is, how do I stop feeling offended? And then Patty introduced me to a book called Unoffendable. And it's written by Brian Hansen. Now, before you run out and get the book, Unoffendable by Brian Hansen, before you run out and grab it, he's very fundamental. And so he uses the Bible a lot, which is good. But he looks at it from a very fundamental standpoint, and that might have some difficulty with your unity principles. But his whole book is talking about this idea of how do we become unoffendable, okay? And the idea of this issue, of this lesson being, it began to come to life when I heard about that. And somebody else was also, somebody wrote a book about it, and there's several YouTubes about this idea of being unoffendable, okay? So that's what caused it to come alive. And the idea being, how do we become unoffendable? And what makes this topic so challenging is the entire existence of human history, okay? So when you talk about it, it's not just personally what we're going through now. We have to understand that this idea of being offendable, that you can be offended, is embedded in the entire existence of human history. We have embedded within us, in our consciousness, the defense mechanisms that we have inherited from this history. And when we couple that with what we each have experienced in our individual lives and how we choose to interpret our experiences, we have embedded these defense mechanisms into the very essence of our being, creating a sense of ourselves that is easily offended. So it would be accurate to say that much of what causes us to be easily offended is not our fault, because we inherited it from the generations that have gone before us. You know, remember Dr. Carl Jung says every generation stands on the shoulders of the generation that came before them, okay? Now, I did a Google search that showed that there were 234 different isms, which represent a distinct philosophical, political, religious, or moral doctrine or belief system. But the isms that are probably the most prominent encompass the rights of ethnic minorities, what we call racism, the rights of women, sexism. There is ageism, classism, anti-Semitism, religious discrimination, and the discrimination against the disabled in the LGBTQIA+ community, okay? So these isms probably make up the bulk of the offendables that we inherited in our consciousness from human history, okay? So they're possibly so much a part of our consciousness that when we are offended by one or more of these isms, we do not even question it, because to our ego self, it is just the way things are, or it is just the way I am, okay? And human history combined with our personal history legitimizes how we feel. So don't tell us that we shouldn't feel this way. You get what I'm saying? That's, and I'm sure that many of you listen to this, thinking about that. You know, if you think about the isms that bother you, you know, you're thinking, well, don't tell me that I shouldn't feel this way, because that wouldn't be fair to the emotional trauma that we've experienced. So that's what we're trying to understand here is, yes, we have gone through some things in our lives that created some deep-seated dynamics within us, but we want to understand how do we move beyond that, okay? So as we say each week, this whole spiritual journey is about waking up from our emotional trauma so that we can discover the real truth about ourselves. And let me say that again. This whole spiritual journey is about waking up from our emotional trauma so we can discover the real truth about ourselves. Why? Because in our present state, we find it hard or impossible to negotiate our way out of being offendable, okay? Or if you would like the word better, offended. But I like saying offendable because we're working with this idea of how to become unoffendable. So to our present psyche, being unoffendable just isn't normal. To the way we are now, this idea of never being offended just doesn't seem normal. It doesn't even seem possible. And basically, this is because, again, of our personal history has made it impossible, has made it feel impossible, I should say. So what do we do about this? Or better still, what do we want to do about this? Because to change, really change, you must want to do something about it. Otherwise, our ego mind will keep us very satisfied right where we are, okay? And it's interesting, you might not say, well, I feel satisfied, but the comfort and the familiarity of being as we are just kind of keeps us in that place. So if we truly want to begin this journey to being unoffendable, then prayer is the vehicle or mechanism that will get us where we're trying to get to, which is the meaning of the title of this lesson, Turn to Spirit Now, in this moment, especially when you observe yourself feeling offended, okay? So the first step in this journey to awakening, as it is in every part of our spiritual journey, is self-observation without condemnation. I know as soon as I said that, everybody was trying to chiming in. That's the first part of this journey, is self-observation without condemnation. And when something occurs that causes us to feel offended, the spiritual work begins. And let me say that again. When something occurs that causes us to feel offended, the spiritual work begins, because it is a signal to turn to Spirit in prayer right now in this moment. And even though your ego mind will tell you to turn to the righteous, you turn your righteous judgment onto the ones who may have offended you, and that's what typically happens, your spiritual mind will direct you to turn within to Spirit right now in this moment. So it's almost like you should thank the person who offended you for alerting you to the fact that it's time to turn within and listen, all right? And actually, any signal that alerts you to the fact that the love within you has been converted to something that is not love is a good signal to stop and turn within. So now the work begins. An emotional, offendable hot button is pressed. Everybody understand what I'm going to, all right? An emotional, offendable hot button is pressed, alerting you that this is the now moment to turn to Spirit and ask to be guided to the inner origin of that offense, okay? Now, I hope you heard what I just said. So when you feel that hot button, you know, that it's hit, and you feel offended, it's alerting you to stop, turn to Spirit right now, and ask to be guided to the inner origin of that offense. Because as we already know by now, we cannot be hurt or offended by something or someone outside of us if the premise for being offended does not already exist inside of us. That is why when we feel ourselves being offended, we want to stop, turn to Spirit, and be guided to the root of what is causing that. Okay? And as experienced true students, we already know this. We already know that if something happens outside of us that triggers a hot button inside of us, that we already know that hot button already existed there, that whatever happened outside of us wasn't what the origin of that was. There is some history in us that we need to get to the root of to try to understand what's going on. So the process and the purpose of becoming unoffendable is about learning or healing ourselves. The process to becoming unoffendable is about healing ourselves. But to be fair, on a purely human level, many of us have wounds that run so deep that it may be unfathomable to even consider trying or even wanting to heal. And that we understand. But healing is the purpose of prayer. Prayer is about asking God to guide you through the unfathomable, through what might seem impossible. Okay, and we read in the revealing word about prayer, it says prayer is the only way to cleanse and perfect our consciousness and thus permanently heal our body. Prayer is the most highly accelerated mind action known. It steps up the action of our mind until our consciousness synchronizes with our Christ mind. Prayer is the language of spirituality, and when fully developed, it makes the one praying a master of the realm of creative ideas. Okay. So this explanation of prayer poses the question, do I want to be a master in the realm of creative ideas? Okay, or continue as I am? Right? Because if we continue as I am, whenever we feel ourselves become offended, that cuts us off on the realm of creative ideas. You can't be in those two places at the same time. Okay, so a master is one who willingly, continuously does the prayer work necessary to move towards being unoffendable. Okay, but remaining as we are does not inspire us to change, and it prevents us from receiving any assistance from the realm of creative ideas. And there is no blame here. Let me say it again. There is no blame here. There is no blame here. Because the work is by no means easy, just as healing and forgiving are by no means easy. But listen to these words from Colossians 4:2 and 5-6. It speaks to the idea of the healing process. It says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Be wise in the way you act towards others. Make the most of every opportunity. And listen to this. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. It's saying that you will know how to respond when things happen in your life. Okay? So we spoke to the first part of the scripture, devote yourself to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Remember, our goal is to ask Spirit to guide us to the root of the hot button that causes us to feel offended. Okay? And once we find that root, we need God's help to heal what causes us to be offendable. And this is where we need to be careful. This is where we need God's help, because up to this point in our lives, we believe we knew why certain circumstances and people offended us. And we can articulate it with provable, justifiable, truly legitimate facts and experiences as to why we feel the way we do, why we feel offended. I know I can justify my reasons for feeling offended, and I can do it with clarity and gusto, okay? And I know everyone listening here can as well, all right? So we're not, you know, berating how we feel. We're just saying that that is the way we feel in the realm, in the consciousness in which we are existing right now. But we're exploring the fact that there is a whole nother realm. There's a whole nother consciousness. Okay? But that is not the point of this lesson that being taught here in terms of this, again, expressing our own feelings about how we're feeling. Our work is to make the shift from ego mind to Christ mind. Okay, from ego mind that is always aware of the history that causes us to feel the way we feel, to the Christ mind, and where all of that history is healed. Okay? And the great challenge is that the ego mind, we know very well. We know our ego mind. But The other we are striving to understand. We don't fully comprehend this idea of how to operate from spirit. And as we discussed in the previous lesson, the point is to use prayer to break through our old ways of thinking and being and into a new evolving consciousness. We read that from Gary Zukav. So the very concept of being unoffendable requires a strong, prayerful desire to explore our divine potential and divine ability to be able to turn to love instead of our defenses. And our instinct to defend is so real and looms so large within us that love has to be exercised daily in every moment to build its presence within us. Okay? So the second verse of the scripture from Colossians explains, be wise in the way you act towards others. Make the most of every opportunity. Always in every situation, pay attention to what you are thinking and feeling when interacting with others. If something occurs that makes you feel offended, embrace it and work and, you know, embrace it and the work that comes with it, you know, that is needed to help you to heal. All right. So you feel yourself offended. You go, wow. Wow, that's it. You know, Reverend Michelle said last week, the ouch. I don't know much about it, but she just mentioned the ouch theory. You know, ouch, that really offended me. Okay. But you also have to embrace the work that comes with it that's needed to help you to heal from that. Okay. So in the words of Martin Luther King, he says, as long as the mind is enslaved, the body can never be free. Psychological freedom and a firm sense of self-esteem is the most powerful weapon against the long night of personal or physical slavery. Okay. So, you know, if we expand this idea of physical slavery to encompass all the material things, the things that happen in the material world that keep us spiritually off balance, okay, we begin to understand the nature of the psychological and emotional attachments that keep us where we are, imprisoned within the realm of our ego mind. And referring to the quote from Gary Zukav from my previous lesson, our five sensory consciousness has confined us to experiences that are appropriate to our level of consciousness. But now it's time to allow our newly evolving consciousness to guide us outside of the ego's domain to realities that might seem impossible, okay? And that's what we're trying to move to. The spiritual path is scary because it takes us away from the anger and frustration that gives us a sense of purpose. And in my discussion, you know, trying to pull this lesson together, and talking with someone posed that many cannot even imagine living without anger and frustration in our lives because it gives us a sense of purpose. And I would really like to hear what others think about that. You know, you might want to write that down if you're going to be in the Zoom session and we can talk about that. You know, is that our reality, that we actually hold on to our anger and frustration because it gives us a sense of purpose? And it's interesting to note that in the email I told you about this a few weeks ago, Reverend Pat, one of the Unity ministers, she received an email from a millennial in her church. She had asked the question, what do millennials want? And this individual expressed that they are not inspired or comforted by statements like, it'll be okay, or just be strong, we'll get through this, or have faith, you know, a change is going to come. They're not inspired because in the years that they have been on this planet, they do not believe that the existing mindset of the older generation knows how to effect real change. And are they, you know, are they the possible igniters, you know, who will usher in real change? Again, a good topic for discussion. And for us in the old guard, there's actually Netflix fan, there's a great series called The Old Guard. But the old guard, if you look it up, it means those who of us who sort of maintain the status quo, keep the old thinking going, okay? So for us in the old guard, the consciousness we are presently in legitimizes the fear, anger, and frustration we feel from the effects of the isms we have experienced in our lives, okay? So we're acknowledging that we have a legitimate reason for being fearful, angry, frustrated, okay, offended by what has been happening. It is overwhelmingly real, so real that it will take spiritual intervention of our inner Christ self to guide us out of it. But we must be willing to surrender to the transformation, all right? And a revealing word calls the process of transformation, it says, it's the change in character from one phase of consciousness to another. It is the lifting up of mind and body from materiality to spirituality, okay? And if it sounds scary, it's probably because it is. But this is what Paul said in his conversation with the congregation in Philippi that he had put together. And this is from Philippians 4, 6 through 7. He says, have no anxiety about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Okay. But let's be honest. The mind trapped in the old guard, that statement is interesting, okay? But we must realize that it is not a fantasy. Rather, it is a mystical statement placed into the universal realm, waiting for our consciousness to evolve to a point where we can understand and embrace it, okay? And to repeat the statement from Gary Zukav from the previous lesson, he says, we stand in two worlds, the new consciousness and the old consciousness. The new consciousness and the old consciousness overlap temporarily in this time of transition, okay? But he says, no humans have experienced what we're going through now before, okay? The dying of consciousness familiar to the five senses. It is imposing and rigid. The new consciousness is evidence of our expanding perceptions. It is liberating and nurturing to the formation of new realities. Okay. So the new consciousness is nurturing and liberating to the formation of new realities. Okay. Being easily offended is the old consciousness. Being unoffendable is the new consciousness, the new realities. And this is where being unoffendable becomes doable and real. It will most likely not occur in the old, in the old five sensory consciousness. It does not know how or understand why it needs to change, okay? It needs to happen in the new consciousness. And the following is an article from the Science of Mind magazine, Monday, August 23rd. So if you have this month's copy of Science of Mind, it's August 23rd, and this is what it says. Now, Leo Buscaglia said, I don't know how many people remember him. He used to be very prominent in writing books and so forth. But he said, we all have difficult people in our lives. Treating them with love isn't always easy. And Mary Marcy reminds us that when someone upsets us, we can pause and ask God, how can I get over this and return to love? Okay. And difficult people give us the opportunity to decide who we want to be when the going gets tough. If we want a society that is more loving and accepting, we need to be more loving and accepting. We change the world one consciousness at a time. Okay, and you can change that for me, sweetie. So I'm going to end with this quote from Rumi. He says, out beyond ideas of wrongdoing and rightdoing, there is a field, and I will meet you there. And so it is. Amen. And now we will have meditation with Pamela.
So join me now, I invite you, Unity family, in prayer and meditation. In the stillness of God's presence, we turn from all outer concerns to that holy place within. Becoming aware of God as a living, loving presence within us, we allow our minds to become quiet and peaceful, and our hearts open and receptive to God's healing love. With your eyes closed and your breathing rhythmic, we pray and meditate with faith, love, and encouragement. Please take a deep breath in and fully exhale. As you inhale again, envision your lungs being filled with the Spirit of Truth. Breathe out and know that for this moment you are fully in God's presence. In this loving awareness, we invite you to allow the words spoken to be the words of your own heart. In God's protecting presence, I release any troubled thought or feeling. For the Spirit of God lives within me as a source of ever-renewing faith and strength. God's love is flowing through me now, calming my emotions, freeing my mind, and healing my body. As I breathe, every breath brings a steady stream of God's healing energy, touching every atom of my body and every part of my spirit, calling forth radiant wholeness. Now I enter that deeper consciousness, allowing my mind to take me there. I will not force anything, I will just let it be. As I feel my body relaxing even further, I see the doorway to the secret place of the Most High, and I walk towards that door. As I reach the door, I recall what is mine to do before I enter. I release and let go to make room for spirit. So I become aware of the mental, emotional, or physical baggage and envision it falling away. I enter the room and take a seat and allow myself to experience God's divine presence. So as we are relaxing and letting go, let us go into the silence even deeper and do what is yours to do in this moment. Pray, receive answers to your prayers, and to be still. We give thanks for the gift of God this day, for we know that our prayers have been answered the moment we asked for them. When you're ready, bring your focus back to your space, and together we say thanks in the name and nature of our elder brother and wayshower, Jesus the Christ. And so it is. Amen.
Great, huh? So this is the time we open our hearts and minds and truly be thankful to Spirit for the wonderful way we still are able to bring this service to you, even during these very interesting times with the Delta variant going out and not we're not understanding what its whole path is going to be. But this way we stay safe and we still worship together, and we've been truly thankful for all the wonderful gifts that you've been sending to support Unity Center of Light during these times. So we ask you to hold your offering in your hand, in your mind, in your spirit, as we say our offering blessing together.
We bless and give thanks for these tithes and offerings as they go forth to continue the healing, loving work being done through the Unity Center of Light.
Amen. All right. And now you have light notes. Okay.
Light notes for today, Sunday, August the 29th. Unity World Day of Prayer is September 8th through the 9th. The theme is All is Well with My Soul. This is a global event and is free online, but you must register. We are all invited to join our friends around the world in lighting a virtual candle to represent your light shining in prayer. You can participate today by submitting a prayer request and engaging in the reflection questions. Check your e-newsletter and updates for instructions. You might have noticed also in the e-newsletter something called the Fillmore Challenge. Challenge yourself to go 24 hours affirming only the things you want to manifest in your life. If you slip up, the clock resets and you begin your next 24-hour challenge. The Unity Book Light Book Club will meet on Sunday, September the 12th, 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. At this time, they'll be discussing the book called A Return to Love, A Handbook for a New American Revolution by Marianne Williamson. A Return to Love confronts the cancerous politics of fear and divisiveness threatening the United States and urging all spiritually aware Americans to return to and act out of our deepest value, love. The next book they'll be reading is called Stillness is the Key by Ryan Holiday. Discussion for this book will be on Sunday, November the 14th. Please read your updates for more information. This year, we are celebrating our 30th anniversary in October as a spiritual community. So we are eager to hear from you. If you're going to be in the Zoom session via the chat, we'd like your ideas pertaining to a virtual celebration. A lot of you have amazingly creative ideas, and we would love to hear them from you. You may write more than one idea into the chat. Thank you for sharing your thoughts with us.
All right. So we are getting ready to
bless the path.
Bless the path.
We're going to bless the path that we each walk. We'll walk this week by affirming our, by saying our affirmation together. Together.
I go forward in the Spirit of the Lord, knowing my way is made easy, joyous, healthy, and prosperous, and I am grateful. All right. Now let's do our prayer for protection.
The light of God surrounds us. I am light. The love of God enfolds us. I am love. The power of God protects us. I am power. The presence of God watches over us. I am presence. Wherever we are, God is. I am divine, and all is well. And that's the truth.
All right. So again, we ask you to please be come into the Zoom fellowship, have discussion about the lesson today, or just what's going on in your life and the world, and you know, just have some time with your Unity friends. And we look forward to seeing you then. Otherwise, have a wonderful week.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.